On the continent of Europe, they've never quite got accountants. It's a cultural thing. Lawyers, as in America, have always been seen as much more important. Bruce Marshall was a Scottish chartered accountant who qualified just after the First World War. It had not been a good war for him. He lost a leg 6 days before the end. But like many a bright young Scots lad at the end of their awful time, he came home and qualified as a chartered accountant. Then he left for Paris, and he joined Pete Marwick Mitchell, as it then was, and he decided to write novels in his spare time. He was good at the novels, and probably a good accountant too. His books sold. One became a Hollywood movie. By the 1950s, he was living in the Côte d'Azur, a pleasant life. And he wrote a book, thinly disguised, based on his early times in Paris as an accountant. It is called The Bank Audit, and it's a hugely entertaining tale of rivalries on a joint audit, the wily French up against a somewhat snooty and self-regarding international firm. It is great fun, and I recommend it. But I mention it here because it throws light on the huge cultural differences in how accountants were then regarded. This was a point in history when accountants in the UK were highly regarded. They advised business at the highest level. If you wanted the finest advice available, you headed down to the Savoy Grill at lunchtime. There, the senior partner of Cooper Brothers, as they then were, held an open table. You could pitch up and, doubtless for a substantial fee, get the advice you needed. In France, as the wit of Bruce Marshall reveals, it was rather different. In a scene in the book at a crucial dinner, the topic of the relative difference in the social and professional standing of French and English accountants is brought up by the wily wife of the French manager. The hero points out that in England, accountancy, as a profession, ranks with law and medicine and is possibly the most important of the professions. And sotto voce within the text, he knows why the question has been asked. Syme knew perfectly well why the manager's wife had asked the question. In France, comptable ranked with bus drivers and postmen, and even an expert comptable would be lucky if he was invited to dine with a greengrocer. Fiction is, of course, not fact, but it can tell us a lot about the prevailing culture. So it was no surprise during the tumultuous 1990s to find the same cultural differences taking their effect. What had once been the Big Eight and then the Big Six of top accounting firms scrambled to merge with each other. This time the lofty disdain, odd with hindsight, was exhibited by the regulators in Brussels. Time after time a global merger would be announced and slide through. The biggest to take hold was that between Pricewaterhouse and Coopers and Lybrand, becoming Pricewaterhouse Coopers. That was announced in September 1997. Then, in a chaotic round of press conferences and announcements and denials, Ernst & Young and KPMG announced that they too reckoned a merger was what was required. The senior partners concerned even appeared with a globe between them to spin, in case the rest of us didn't fully understand the consequences. But it was at this point that the regulators finally woke up and, blinking at what was going on, put their foot down. Up to that point, they'd assumed that all these mergers only involved accountants, and therefore they couldn't possibly be of any importance to anyone, least of all regulators. They were taking the same lofty cultural line as the French in the novel. No greengrocers were involved. Too late, the regulators realised that what they meant by accountants was not what the rest of the world meant by accountants. PricewaterhouseCoopers became a reality in 1998, but that was the end of the fun, and the regulators have smarted ever since.